During this unusual and challenging time, do you find yourself reaching out for anchor principles to hold on to?
In the midst of everyday circumstances, do you wonder if there are guiding practices upon which to build your life?
How important would these guiding principles be in your life?
How significant would these guiding practices be in the ministry of our church?
What biblical values anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church?
Core values, salvation.
Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. Paul is writing. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request or a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. We are glad that you're here. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm launching a new series titled Core Values. Throughout my life, I have seen the power of individuals and organizations operating from a series of core values. Whether it's a sports team or a company, a nonprofit or a church, a corporation or a country, leadership and the vision, values and culture of that team, organization or community make all the difference. You know, it's football season, and my mind wanders toward football. When I was a senior in high school, we got a new football coach. Now, the season before, we had gone 0-9. We hadn't won a game, and our new coach had come to change that. One of the first things he did was to talk with us regularly about a two-word phrase that he put on the wall in our gym: "We believe." First, it was, put on a banner in the summer weight training room, and he'd point to that and he'd say, "Boys, this season is going to be better than last. We're going to be better trained, better conditioned, better equipped, better prepared." And then he made good on his promises. He and the coaching staff worked us hard. But they worked us smart too. And pretty soon, that saying on the wall, "We believe," had begun to take hold in our hearts and in our minds, the minds of the whole team. At the end of the season, we were 7-1. We turned it around. So how does that happen? How does a team go from 0-9 to 7-1 overnight? For me, that experience was a dramatic lesson about the value of leadership, vision, and core values. Over the coming weeks, I plan to lift up a common set of core values. Why? Because core values anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church. I don't know about you, but often in my experience, vision leaks. You can post leaks in the chat. It's easy for me to forget or to lose focus about what's important as I follow Jesus. My vision leaks. Well, my prayer is that this series will stir our hearts and remind us of those core values that bind us together in love and ministry in our world. Here at Christ Church, we have a mission. We're making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we've had a long-term vision, too, living the Christ style, loving God, our neighbors, ourselves, following in the footsteps of Jesus, being a good Samaritan church, helping people at the point of their brokenness and need. And when we talk about core values, I believe there are key ideas and practices that keep our discipleship focused and keep our ministry as a church strong. Today, I want to talk about the core value of salvation, post-salvation in the chat. At the heart of Christianity is the message of salvation. What do we mean by salvation? The word salvation means being saved from danger, evil, difficulty, or loss. In the Old Testament, people cried out to God for salvation. Lord, save us from our enemies, from unrighteousness, struggles, harm. In the New Testament, salvation, God's deliverance, came to be centered around the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring us salvation from sin and death and hopelessness. God's gift of salvation came through faith in Jesus Christ, resulting in forgiveness of sin, peace within, and eternal life. The gospel message is good news. We've got problems, hello? But God loves us. He cares for us. And He has provided for us a way to be free from all of that by putting our faith, our trust in His Son Jesus. That's what Paul was so fired up about in our text for this morning from Romans 1:16. He wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel message is the power of God to change the direction of a person's life forever. That's astounding. That's why we consider biblical salvation a core value for our lives and our church. But as I begin today, I'm sure that you know not everyone embraces this core value of salvation. What are some arguments against this core value? Well, some would say people don't need saving. Some today might say that human nature is not marred, that there is no bent towards sin, that we're all basically good, and that what we need is to just be enlightened. We just need to think differently about ourselves, accept ourselves as we are, and choose to live in the light of this new positive awareness that already resides within us. Let me ask you a question. Does that ring true in our experience in the everyday world? Others might say, there are many ways to God, or all spiritual paths lead up to the same mountain called God. That's a popular sentiment today. In recent years, there's been a tendency to promote tolerance of religious differences to somehow find common ground. In this approach, all religions are regarded as having equal validity, and the obvious differences are minimized or ignored. But anyone who does any kind of study recognizes there are significant differences between faith traditions, and Christianity's specific claims about Jesus' unique status as God's Son are particularly distinct. A third argument that is sometimes used against the Christian message of salvation is this: the Christian gospel is too graphic. The violence, the bloodshed, and suffering that surrounds the circumstances of Jesus' death is just too much. How can something like that be the centerpiece of Christian theology? Some persons dismiss the theme of Jesus' death on the cross as being too graphic. They wonder how God's love is reflected in the story of Jesus' death. And yet, that is the story at the heart of our New Testament. So there have always been thoughts contrary to Christian theology. The question is, what is the gospel message and what do we believe? What are the biblical truths that cause the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ to ring so true in our hearts? Well, I would say, first of all, one basic principle of Christian theology is that human beings are incomplete apart from God. God has created all human beings in His image. Hallelujah. And though we all have that image, the mark of God upon our souls, we're not perfect. Our souls have been marred and disfigured by sin. We are deficient, unfinished, incomplete. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. So again, the question, does that ring true in your experience? Does the biblical witness about sin seem to ring true for you? Is that evident in our everyday world? Story is told about a husband and wife who had a huge argument. They ended up not talking to each other for days. Finally, 3 days later, he asked where one of his shirts was. Oh, she says, now you're speaking to me. He looked confused. What are you talking about? Well, haven't you noticed I haven't spoken to you for 3 days? She asked. No, he said. I thought we were just getting along. We all blow it. We all fall short. In addition to being incomplete, another basic Christian belief is that sin separates us from God. Though the Bible affirms God's love for all human beings, it also indicates that there is a separation, an alienation, a distance that we feel from God. In this state, we often act out in ways completely contrary to His will and purpose for our lives. We're living the wild life, and we know it, and it often is very destructive toward us and others. In 1 Colossians 1:21, Paul says, this includes you, who once were so far away from God. You were His enemies and hated Him and were separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Can you relate to that part of the biblical witness? Was that sense of separation ever a part of your life story? I remember many times in my life when I felt separated, when God seemed far away. And I was aware of that feeling deep within myself. The third foundational belief I'd lift up is this: God sent Jesus to save us. Yes, we're incomplete. Yes, sin separates us from God. But God sent Jesus to save us. Jesus has come to make the difference in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Apostle Paul says, you are God's children. He sent Jesus Christ to save us and to make us wise, acceptable, and holy. Jesus Christ can change your life. His power can make all the difference. I love to hear how God does it. Listen to these testimonies of Christ's changing power. One woman said, I thought I was okay for heaven. I believed there was a God, sometimes even prayed to Him for help. It wasn't until my daughter accepted Jesus as her Savior and I witnessed her miraculous transformation that I realized I really didn't have Jesus in my life. On my third visit to her church, I confessed my need of a Savior and asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. My husband soon received Christ afterwards. That was 21 years ago, and God's love has been proven to be genuine. She said, Jesus in John 14:6 said, no one comes to the Father but by me. A man named John said, I was born in Northern Ireland. I went to church every Sunday, but never really knew Jesus until I nearly lost my life in a shooting accident. I spent my young life as a thief, vandal, and alcoholic. I was arrested twice and suspended for bringing alcohol and weapons to school. At 15, my friend and I found a gun. Thinking it was empty, my friend pointed it at me and pulled the trigger. The injury left me paralyzed from the shoulders down, like Christopher Reeve. Months later, a man came to see me in the hospital, and on that day, I was born again. Christ accepted me, and I accepted him. I regret that I didn't get to know God sooner. In Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. John says, please do not waste time as I did. Another woman said this, my name is Gabriella. I'm 45 years old, happily married with two children. That changed 8 years ago when I began a hot, passionate love affair with poker machine gambling. I slowly emptied all our accounts and started lying professionally. I was addicted. When I had to tell my husband, I swore I will never do it again. I broke that promise the next day. I went to counseling, joined Gamblers Anonymous, but nothing helped. Eventually, I cried out, God, if you are there, you have to take over. There's nothing I can do that will get me out of this. And that day, God, she said, made me a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new person. Old things are passed away, all things are new. These and countless millions of other personal stories that people have point to the reality of God's saving grace through faith in Jesus. So how does this core value of salvation impact us? In what ways is it personal to you and me? Well, because of salvation, we experience forgiveness of sin and peace with God. The worst experience of guilt that I remember as a kid was the time I drove a golf ball through the window of a new home being built behind our house. I'd found a golf club, I teed it up, and I sliced it right into that window. Well, my brother saw everything and he ratted on me. And my mother made me call that builder day after day until I got a hold of him and that I could tell him what happened. Well, I was all eaten up inside, nervous every time I called, but I finally got a hold of him. I told him what happened. I confessed. I said, I'm going to make it right. After that, I was finally able to let go of my guilt. God offers us forgiveness and peace. But we have our part. We have to place our faith and trust in Jesus. Acts 13:38 says, brothers, listen, in this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. There is forgiveness. And Romans 5:1 says, so now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in His promises, we can have real peace with Him because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. There is real peace. In addition to forgiveness and peace, we find purpose in this life. When Christ is your Lord and Savior and you are set free from the destruction of your sinful life, you begin to see with different eyes, God's eyes. You discover clarity. You become focused. You get serious about the rest of your life. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul writes, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. I remember those early days after coming to faith in Christ. Everything looked different to me. The sky, the trees, everything looked more vivid, more colorful, and my hope for the future was as bright as it has ever been. I had this unshakable confidence that with God in my life, everything was going to work out. And now, with the perspective of a few more years, I realize that though things are often more complicated than I had counted on, yes, overall, I have experienced a great sense of purpose and destiny as I continue my walk with God. Of course, life has a way of keeping our feet on the ground. One evening, a preschooler, Crystal, and her parents were sitting on the couch chatting, and Crystal asked, "Daddy, you're the boss of the house, right?" Well, her father proudly replied, "Yes, Crystal, I am the boss of the house." But Crystal added, "'Cause mommy put you in charge, huh, Daddy?" Out of the mouth of babes. So, because of the promise of God's salvation, there is forgiveness, peace, purpose, and finally, the hope of eternal life to come. Not only do we experience great blessings in this life, but there is the joy of experiencing eternal life with God in the next life. There is no greater prize than that, and we can look forward to it as we continue to walk by faith with God. In Romans 2:7, Paul says, "He will give eternal life to those who patiently do the will of God, seeking for the unseen glory and honor and eternal life that He offers." Wow! We can live with confident assurance as we practice our faith, experience all God has for us in this life, and wait patiently for the prize of eternal life. And we don't even know the half of what that prize is really going to be like. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul echoes the words of the prophet Isaiah when he writes, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." Well, we have many great and precious promises. Remember this. The core value of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ anchors our lives. We experience forgiveness. We have peace with God. These are huge blessings. We live with meaning and purpose. We're on a mission with God to know, love, serve, and we know that ultimately our eternity is secure. We don't have to fear death. In Christ, God has provided the pathway to peace. If you haven't already accepted God's gift of salvation through faith in Jesus, I pray that you will. And if you have, I encourage you to grow in your faith by sharing it with loved ones, friends, and others that God brings your way. That's our great privilege, to share this marvelous gift. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious and merciful Lord, we thank You for our faith is a reasonable faith. We thank You that it rings true in our experience. We are grateful that Your promise of salvation is available to all. Lord, help us to stand upon the promises of Your Word and give us courage and conviction to share our faith in Jesus in love, humility, and compassion with all those that we know and meet. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Well, I hope the message spoke to you. Remember, in Jesus Christ, God has provided salvation, the pathway to peace. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can experience this salvation, this peace with God through faith in Christ, please contact me. If you've joined us today and you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app, go to the website. You know, giving back to God is one of the most tangible ways that we thank God for His goodness. You can do that using text to give, the app, you can go to the website, or mail in contributions. I want to thank you again for your tremendous generosity. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, the core value of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ anchors your everyday life. For now, who do you know that needs to hear this message of salvation, of new life through faith in Jesus?
You know, Lisa, I really love my furniture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for a long time. Me and my recliner, we go way back.
October 6th is our first Wednesday event. This month, we'll focus on community missions with T-Town Tacos, a testimony from our monthly community breakfast, and Restore Hope Director, Reverend Jeff James. Join us at 5:30 p.m. for $5 taco plates, or if tacos aren't your thing, we're packing beans and rice for Restore Hope at 6 p.m. Worship and speakers will follow.
Join Priscilla Shire on a 7-session journey through the life and times of the prophet Elijah to learn how the fire on Mount Carmel was forged in the valley of famine and how the emboldened, fiery faith you long for is being fashioned by God in your life right now. The study will be held Tuesday evenings and Thursday mornings beginning in October. Sign up at the Welcome Center or at cumctulsa.com/register.
Looking for a great way to see your CUMC family? Come float the park with us. Float the Park is a root beer float party at La Fortune Park, Sunday, September 26th. We've rented the Southwest Shelter from 2 to 3:30 p.m. The Fellowship Board will have root beer floats for you, and Youth and Children's Ministry will be there with games. Please bring chairs and let us know you're coming at cumctulsa.com/register.
You can find all this information and more on our newly updated website, cumctulsa.com.